You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build a social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I have Whitney Eckes here, who's the founder of Eckes Marketing, and she is based out of San Diego, California. And listen to this rap sheet of brands that she's worked with. This just blew me away. She's worked with SoulCycle, Marriott, Hilton, Red Bull, RX Bar, Kendra Scott, just to name a few. And she is your go-to gal when it comes to all things social media and influencer marketing. So what I'm super pumped, Whitney, to talk to you about today is obviously all things social media and all the biggest questions that I get asked from my audience about how to grow their following and not only position themselves as experts, but how to organically grow their business and really get the following that they deserve. So thank you so much for taking some time to come on the show today. And let's jump in. So the first thing that I want to dive into is your story. How many years have you been in marketing? I think you've gotten quite a quick jump on how quickly your business has taken off, right?
Yeah. So I've been in marketing for about 7 years now.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about that. How did you get into marketing and influencer relations and all things brand development strategy? How did this all happen?
Yeah, I actually started, my marketing career goes all the way back to college. I got my first real taste with Red Bull, working with them, working on various projects. And then that's also too where I got a lot of experience in the kind of beginning foundation of social media. Back then, Facebook was kind of, you know, the main power player, but Instagram was on the rise. And things like Twitter, you know, they were still pretty big components, or I guess platforms, but they weren't as big as they are today. And so one of the things that we had to do is we had to take activations and different campaigns that were given to us from Red Bull and like basically create and customize, you know, ways in which we were going to, you know, get our own bull ring and eyes on these different campaigns. So we would bring like athletes like to our colleges. We would do like bar nights. We were, you know, constantly bringing like top athletes and things like that to events and just getting people that we were friends with excited about it and to post about it on social. So there was a lot there that it almost seems like it was like very low hanging fruit and a little bit of like guerrilla marketing tactics. But in the end, it really did kind of stem. It was like the beginning foundation of like what we look at to influencer marketing now. So I started way back in college. I worked for Red Bull. I did some event coordinating jobs. I always begged every employer that I had to let me do their social media. And then in turn went into a hospitality business where I was running about 15 properties in the digital space. So I was doing everything from paid advertising to email marketing campaigns to influencers to actually curating all of their social media content calendars, which was a huge, big push. And then I really just wanted my own gig. And I really wanted to, you know, work on brands and clients that excited me. And so through that, I was able to go off on my own and launch Eckes Marketing.
Love it. And so when you say influencer marketing, can you explain to our listeners what that would entail, like what that means?
Yeah. So influencer marketing essentially is basically the way in which we have somebody that has a substantial amount of clout whether that's on social media or on other platforms, essentially market your brand and be the ambassador for your brand. So when we do influencer marketing, we take our brand clients and we align them with people that we feel like would really represent their brand or product well. And then we create a customized campaign around them.
Got it. And is this something usually that people are doing, influencer marketing? Would you say it's much more of an advanced strategy? Does it cost big money to do that stuff? Or when would you implement a strategy like that?
For like influencers?
Yeah, like where you start using influencer marketing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think influencer marketing is still very, very new. Like, I still feel like everyone is trying to figure out where the sweet spot is. I think right off the bat, you know, a lot of people were trying to dive into influencer marketing and they weren't really fully educated on what it can do for your brand, right? So we're still seeing this huge educational process of whether or not, you know, an influencer can react to a direct sale or if it's more of a, you know, in a brand awareness and exposure kind of campaign. So I think as a brand, what you need to assess is, you know, what does success look like for you? Exactly are you trying to achieve? Are you looking for that direct ROI? Then maybe influencer marketing isn't necessarily for you at this time because it is a little bit of a longer term play, right? The other thing too, that as a brand, if you're going into influencer marketing, I think that you should be really trying to have your product, and I say product because it's easier with CPG brands, but you know, you want to have your product reviewed, or you want to have someone experience the product firsthand. Those types of things are great for influencer marketing, right? Because you're getting a full honest reaction. You are, you know, giving them the product to experience. And especially if you go with someone that's very well aligned and you curate a longer term campaign rather than just a one-off post, you actually see them turn more into an ambassador for your product, especially if they like it, versus, you know, just something that's like, okay, here, I got paid $150. I'm going to post this on my Instagram and call it a day. So as a brand, you really need to vet, you know, who you're going to be working with, and then also too, what success looks like for you and your brand.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. When you said CBG, what does that mean?
Consumer-based good.
Okay. Okay. Got it. And so if you were somebody that was just dipping your toe in the water with this and wanting to kind of, I guess, like test the waters, how are these things usually set up where you find someone? And is there a certain way that this is all done?
In regards, I mean, for example, like we do it through the agency. So like that is actually one of our, best sold services is that we have brands come to us and say, okay, look, we do want to dip our foot into the influencer pool. What's the best way to go about it? So from that point, we actually have to do a little bit of brand development and positioning and really come up with a creative way to have this brand go in front of these influencers, but also to, you know, again, measure out what their success looks like or what they're looking to achieve. So if you are looking to do influencer marketing, I mean, as an influencer, you need to make sure that you're in with different PR agencies and different marketing agencies, right? Or they have you on their roster. And then in turn, if you are a brand looking to step into influencer marketing, I would go after, you know, an agency that has the specific type of roster that you're looking for.
Right. Okay. And if we're going to take it back a step, when you said about positioning yourself, what does that mean?
Yeah, totally. And this is still in regards to influencer marketing.
Well, yeah, I'm interested in this idea of, okay, so let's say influencer marketing, probably for a lot of people listening, that's probably going to be a goal a little bit in the distant future, thinking about paying somebody to post about a product for them. So if we take it a step back, you had said before you can even do that, you need to make sure your positioning is being done correctly. So what what does that look like if someone is trying to get their ducks in a row to be able to move to influencer marketing?
Well, I think that you need, first off, you need to establish what your niche is, right? Like, where is your industry? Okay, so let's just say, you know, we are a gummy supplement company, right? Not only determining, you know, what is your angle on the market and where do you lie in the market, but also too, what's going to set you apart, right? You know, is it your branding? Is it the way that you market yourself? Is it the ingredients? Are you clean? You know, what are all the different variations that sets your product apart from everyone else? And then number two, who are you aligning with, right? So as you are positioning yourself and your product and your brand, you want to be able to bring on influencers that are going to sit well and sit within that same position, right? Because the whole point of going after influencers is that you essentially too, not only want them to become loyal and to establish a great relationship with you and your brand, but you're also trying to attract their audience, right? And usually a good influencer match is when their following is your ideal consumer. So you need to, you know, again, assess where you lie in the market and, like you said, get all your ducks in a row, but also make sure that you guys are willing and that you share the same kind of position.
Okay. Love it. So there's a couple of people that are big in a couple of these social selling companies that most of our listeners would be in. And I see these guys have become influencers themselves, where they're starting to talk about different products and things like that. So it's interesting when I think of that backwards, because the products that they're introducing, you would definitely see how everyone watching would be their ideal customers. Different things, like I see baby products and supplements and all these things. So that totally makes sense how when you peel it back, that's what you're trying to do. Okay, I love that. So let's take it back one step further. So before really establishing as your own brand, this comes, you know, when you're establishing yourself and figuring out your niche. Let's say you've done that and you've done a good job of that. How do you start attracting your own audience? And the question I get asked most often is, how do you actually start getting followers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great question. So again, you have to offer your audience some sort of value, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that is a curated feed or a pretty photo or a recipe or a fitness routine, what are you offering that's going to give your followers some sort of value? And I think that's the biggest thing that people miss, right? Everyone wants to be Insta famous. Everyone wants to have a ton of followers. Everyone wants to be raking in brand deals and advertising campaigns. But in reality, you have to be very clear on what your value proposition is. And that goes the same with brands, you know? You can't just put out there and expect to have all this following. You need to really get clear on what your value is. And then from there, you also need to be clear on who exactly you want to be following you. So, you know, it's first and foremost, what do you want to offer? But then also too, it's a little bit of backward planning of, okay, if this is going to be my consumer audience, you know, what are they looking for? You know, what things are they going to take away? And then from there, going out there and spending some time and, you know, following them and engaging with them. I tell kind of everyone that social media is as much as you put into it, you get out of it. So you need to be putting in the time and engaging with these people, as well as really, you know, doing some planning and really mapping out, you know, what you want your content to look like and the type of reaction that you want your content to have.
Okay, got it. So if we were to take like a case study here for a second, I think everyone is really familiar with SoulCycle. Everyone's heard of them. If we were going to look at the way that they would position themselves and how they offer value into the world, what would you say that that looks like for a brand like that?
Yeah, so I think with SoulCycle, you know, they've always kind of had this premium image, right? Mm-hmm. You know, everything, even right down to their brand, everything is clean, it is efficient. You know, it kind of has this whole culture surrounding the type of writer that comes into SoulCycle and that usually has a membership. They have completely positioned themselves as the, you know, quote unquote, spin studio for people that are serious about not only, you know, cycling, but they're serious about the experience of going to their studio, right? I think for them, you know, that whole positioning has come down to, you know, again, how are they branding themselves in the social space or in their marketing strategies? And number two, what type of clientele are they going after? And that has, you know, I would say that they probably walk that line of doing both, right? They brand themselves to pull in that ideal clientele, but then also too, they have a very set brand that is, you know, attractive to that clientele. So it them kind of walking this fine line of, you know, they have everything very dialed in for who they're wanting to attract.
And so in terms of figuring that out, because that's always a million dollar question, right? When you are starting to piece together who you are as, let's just say, a social seller in the fitness field. You're starting to piece together who you are. How do you think that companies put together who they really want to attract?
I mean, I think that you need to do like a consumer profile, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that you should have any sort of business without being very clear on who your consumer or your potential customer is. So I think if you go into something blindly and have a product, you know, and you're just kind of selling to everyone, I don't think that you're necessarily going to stand out, especially if there's other competition. You need to go in and you totally, like you said, need to niche down and determine, you know, who you're going after. And from there, start small. You know, mm-hmm. keep your customers small, keep them tight, build that loyalty. And then from there, you know, build out your positioning, you know, and become bigger and grow more and diverse yourself into different types of audiences and demographics. But for the most part, you need to get very clear on who you're going after.
So your suggestion would be that when you first start out, it's better to really niche down and be talking to like one person versus the idea of spraying and praying and trying to attract anyone that you can that will come to you.
100%.
Okay, cool. I talk to the people in any of my Done For You courses. We talk about this a lot and they're always worried. They're like, well, but if I'm talking to one person, then what if I turn other people off? But from what you're saying, and this aligns with my thinking as well, if you are trying to talk to too many people, the people that you're actually really going after will either one, not get the message, or two, you won't be able to speak to them with enough specificity that they'll really be called out at all.
Absolutely. And I think too, quality over quantity, right? You know, if you want your brand to be an evergreen brand, then, and again, I mean, I'm trying to put this in perspective of like a product-based brand versus like a service-based brand. But, you know, you really do have to get clear about, you know, who you are approaching. And also too, you know, why wouldn't you go after the masses? Or why, you know, what is it going to do for your brand if you go ahead and try to do volume versus just sticking with your niche? And I think like people run into the problem of always compromising their brand. And when you compromise your brand or when you essentially, like you said, spray and pray, you're going after so many people that ideally you're going to start running into smaller little issues, right? That are compromisable to your brand or your product or your service, whether or not that consumer is well aligned for your product or service, or whether or not you're not focusing, like you said, on the people that are well aligned and, you know, they're not receiving, you know, the same kind of quality that they would be receiving if you had just focused on them in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha. And so when it comes to actually building a following, that clarity is really key because every post needs to back that up and be an example of that. And you were saying with building a following, because I hear this a lot too, people are like, well, which hashtag should I use? I'm trying to find people through hashtags and I'm not an Instagram expert by any stretch of the imagination. I like words and that side of things. But what are your thoughts on hashtags and algorithms and all of that when it comes to building a following?
Yeah, I mean, they're important for sure. I think that you, again, need to be looking at, let's just say your ideal consumer is on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Okay, where are they living? What are they doing? Who are they following? Why are they following them? You know, I think that you need to be very clear on this consumer image and understand who they are and what their behavior is. So for example, you know, if you're looking through hashtags to bring people in, that's great. And you might find a couple, but in reality, it's not about just mindless searching or, you know, trying to kind of throw things at the wall and hope that you get better engagement or getting a sale out of the deal. It's more or less being strategic and spending your time on your social media platform that's going to result in a sale for you. So for example, if we're going, you know, if I'm a health-based food product brand and I'm wanting stay-at-home moms that most likely are bloggers or that are, you know, very familiar with the mommy blogging community, I'm going to start approaching and engaging with, you know, a couple top influencer mommy bloggers and their followers. And I will literally go through and look through their following or who they're following and start engaging with them, start following them, start reaching out to them. Hey, have you tried our product? You know, can I send you a bottle and have you review it for the blog? Or, you know, would you want to go live and chat clean ingredients that are safe for kids? There's a bunch of different ways for you to engage your audience, you know, strategically and get a huge return on it, rather than trying to keep up with this Instagram algorithm or, you know, participating in things like fake followers or comment pods. There's a very authentic and strategic way to go about growing your following that's actually going to result in real physical revenue.
I love that. I love that you said that, because I think, one, there's probably a lot of people out there that are sighing relief that, you know, the hashtag game is not one that they have to figure out completely to get their business to be working, or same pods, buying fake followers. Would you say that those things damage accounts more so than any good that they do?
Yeah. I mean, we can totally chat Instagram guidelines all day long, but for sure they are so damaging, and it doesn't help you. You know, for example, like even like the verification system is based off a trust score, and a trust score is based off of how many legitimate accounts are interacting with you and how much legitimate press you have and how legitimate of an actual public figure are you in order for Instagram to verify you. And so, you know, if you are breaking Instagram's guidelines or community standards, I mean, you will be flagged. And they're not super open with the way in which that process is, but it is a process. And, you know, for any platform, if you're breaking the rules, it's going to come back negatively on you. So don't do it. You know, I mean, it's so cool nowadays that we're seeing these micro influencers with, you know, less than 5K securing major brand deals with major brands. And it's because they convert and they have great engagement, great traction, and people actually trust them. So I don't think it's a numbers game anymore like it used to be. I mean, for example, I can't stand when I see someone at 30K and they're bringing in 55 likes with one comment. It breaks my heart. And that's also too something where if you are a newer brand and you don't know this industry, you're going to maybe, you know, try to secure an influencer deal with them and it's going to completely flop. So I think being authentic and really, you know, just staying true to your organic growth and ensuring that you are engaging people the right way is going to do big things for you down the line versus trying to get there quick and just doing it, you know, kind of shortcutting everything.
Yeah. Cause at the end of the day, that is score of engagement, like how many people are actually interacting with your post. I've heard people of hitting 10,000 followers, getting the swipe up feature and it not making a difference just because people, one, maybe there's some fake followers in there, but also people, if they're not interacting, that's not any value to your account as a brand at all.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So I guess the other question that I would have from my group that they have a lot would be around, what are the best habits that you can have on a daily basis to help grow your social media account? What are the must-dos to make sure that you're getting the traction that you would want to grow your business?
Number one, showing up, right? Spending time on social media and again, putting into it what you would get out of it. So I tell everyone that I make all of my social media managers spend about 30 minutes a day on a client account, you know, and that's community management, that's reputation management, that's customer service, that's interacting and responding to DMs and comments and stories, and just being active. You know, you don't need to be on every single platform, but, you know, pick two, whether it's TikTok and Instagram, or it's Pinterest and your blog, or you know, it's a LinkedIn and, you know, your company's website or company Facebook page, whatever it is, you know, spend some time there and engage with people there. It's very hard. And again, I think people were like, in the beginning, everyone thought that they should be on everything and that they should just be always creating content. And the downside to that is you're not creating quality content and it's falling upon deaf ears, right? You're not building up your audience. It's better to create one piece of very strategic content and really just sit with it and make sure that, you know, your audience is actually getting value from it.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. And The other question I have for you is around stories. And what are some of the best strategies that you can have around stories? Some of the things we would normally talk about would be, you know, how many times do I have to post a day? Let's start with that question first.
Again, I feel like all these rules, all these like rumors of like what you're supposed to be doing on Instagram has completely changed. I think that posting once a day is fine. I like to take off the weekends. If it's a specific brand, like let's just say it's like our Hilton account. Hilton, for example, I don't think they need to be posting 5 times a day. I think they should be posting maybe 3 to 4 times a week. And it needs to be at strategic times, right? It needs to be around their happy hour. It needs to be around their weekend events. It needs to be when they have a new, you know, a gorgeous new room stay or a fun staff feature. Again, it doesn't necessarily need to be all this quantity of random posts. It needs to be strategic. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at stories and you're looking at content, I mean, if you are a personal brand or an influencer, are you showing people into your life? You know, are you bringing them in and along for the ride? Okay, great. Then you should be posting as much as you can, right? You should be showing them the BTS of your life. Now, if you're a brand on the other end, you know, how are you engaging your audience? Are you doing fun, you know, gift wallpapers or, you know, inspirational quotes or a flash sale, you know, or going live with one of the co-founders of your brand and talking about, you know, the story behind your brand? There's a bunch of different ways and strategies, but it needs to be strategic.
And what are your favorite ways to not only, I guess, create Insta stories? I know there's lots of apps and different things you can do that, but the ones that you find are getting the most engagement these days.
Okay. In regards to like stories, like what are the best apps to use for stories? I mean, video is always king, right? So anytime that you can actually do some sort of video and make it fun and make it interactive or just make it really cool, I would always do video. I think that's why TikTok's having such a huge moment right now, is that it's lighthearted, it's easy, and people don't feel like they're, you know, necessarily being targeted with content. The stories that I like for editing, I love Mojo, I love Unfold, I love, what is the other one? Story, I believe it's called Story Edit, it's by Planoly. Those are great, great apps to use. And also too, again, if you're looking for that curated look, those are also great. For Instagram, my editing app are Lightroom and Viesco. I love those two. But yeah.
I love that you said that, because I was always wondering how you said that app name. I have that one and I freaking love it too, but I'm like, I don't know how to say it. So I'm just not. So I'm glad you said that. That's awesome. Okay. Cool. So those are the Insta. Okay. And what about in terms of gifts and polls and all that stuff? What do you find works the best, or is the most, I guess, effective way to utilize those in your stories?
Just be as fun as you want with them. Stay on brand. I think it's really fun when people create their own gifts and they're not hard to create. So I think, you know, sticking with stuff that really represents you or that you find that fits your personality, right? So, you know, if you are doing a GIF, you know, make sure it's on brand. Now, if you're doing a poll and things like that, I think those are really great. The biggest thing with polls and with engaging with your audience is to make it about them. You know, ask them questions, ask them, you know, give them a reason to want to respond and want to interact with you. So that's, you know, putting that kind of backward planning mindset on and making sure that you are, again, kind of interacting with them. And it's not just all about what you're wanting to see. It's more or less what they're wanting to see and how they're wanting to interact with you.
Right. So, and I've heard this before, that when you do that stuff, when you're asking people to interact, to comment, to DM you, it's all very helpful for the algorithm or not?
Yeah. I mean, the way that the algorithm, from what we understand as of today, and this could completely change, is that, again, the more active Instagram sees you on your account, and the more, again, you're putting into it, the more that traditionally your posts are going to have a little bit more weight to them. Now, that has changed so much as the way that the feed layout lays. But again, you have kind of remember like the very fine like logistics of it, right? The more that you're adding to your story, the more that your little bubble is going to the top of people's feeds, right? Mm-hmm. We're just talking stories. So if you're going live, that sends out an alert to all of your followers that you're going live. That's a great way to boost the engagement just for your stories or for your live. Same thing with you constantly adding to your story. The more stories you have, the more that bubble is going to be at the front of people's newsfeed, right? On the top. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know necessarily if there's like a secret sauce of like, yes, doing this, this, and this is going to help your engagement and boost it. And quite frankly, if anyone tells you that, that doesn't work at Instagram, I would not believe them. I would literally stick to the tried and true tools, right? And that goes down to how much you're putting into Instagram and how much you're getting out of it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming all of this is going to be the same for Facebook. The more that you're showing up, the more you're at the top of people's feeds, all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Is there anything else that you feel that we haven't covered that's really important in the social media strategy game?
I think at this point, you know, right now, the only thing that we haven't covered, and I don't know if this is going to be timely when this episode launches, but is the whole epidemic that we're going through. I think right now we're seeing a major, major moment for community. And whether you are, you know, a social seller, an influencer, or a brand, being there for your community and realizing to the weight of the situation, I think it could be a great opportunity for people to launch new products or for people to launch new businesses right now that, you know, are going to offer a helping hand to those in need. So I think right now in this climate of everything that's happening, being aware of like where you stand and where your company is. And then also to, you know, realizing that how many people are actually looking for that connection, that community in the social space. So know that there's more eyes on the internet and on social media right now more than ever, and kind of understand where you lie and how you can possibly be helping your community.
Yeah, I love that. And I think everything that you've shared with us, I think my audience is going to want as soon as possible. So all of this, I think that you've just talked about with community is so, so very relevant. And so Whitney, where is the best place that people can find you and follow you?
The best place to find me for our agency is just at Ekis Marketing. And then my personal account is just at Whitney.Ekis. And then our podcast is called Under the Influence with Whitney Ekis.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today, Whitney. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. So fun chatting with you.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you so much for listening to Social Selling Simplified. Now, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, because you never know when there's going to be a guest or a topic that absolutely changes your business and changes your life. I'd also love for you to leave us an honest review that we can definitely be in touch with what you want to hear more of and what topics are really making an impact in your business. Now, if you want to take it a step further, there is an awesome quiz that we've put together to help you understand what you need to do to grow your social selling business. Now, when you go to ashleyshaw.ca/quiz, you're going to be able to discover the biggest priorities in your business, how to remove roadblocks, and hone in on where to spend your time and create the social selling business of your dreams. And that's at ashleyshaw.ca/quiz. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Social Selling Simplified.